ABC Books on North Glenstone have for years sponsored our Author of the Week. This is an opportunity that we have to bring you an author every week to talk about. It's usually a relatively new book, and we keep these archived at ksgf.com. So if you go to on the On Demand and the Nick Reed Show, and there will be an Author of the Week section. And you can see they're listed in order of interviews, all the author interviews we've done, back to a certain point anyhow. It goes back, I think at least a couple years, if not further than that. And this is a great opportunity, especially if you're looking for some new book to read and you're not really sure what's out there, what's new. You can scroll through and you just see something, think that looks interesting, I'll listen to this interview and give you a little insight into whether or not that's something you want to grab. So a huge thank you to ABC Books, and they have an Author of the Week section there should they not have one of the books in, or anything else that you're looking for. They are great about getting that for you right away. So they're great resources, great local business over there, just south of Kearney. That's ABC Books on North Glenstone. Robert Spalding, he is retired from the U.S. Air Force as a brigadier general, more than 25 years of service. Also, former China strategist for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Joint Staff at the Pentagon. And he is our Author of the Week. The book, Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. I appreciate you being with us this morning. And if you ask people who get most of their news from so-called mainstream news, they'd think that the number one threat, the only thing that we have to worry about, is Russia. That is our number one enemy and fear, and everything else is cool and okay. But in fact, China, this is where we've got some real problems. If you would explain this to us.
Well, thank you for having me on. And I've worked for the last 5 or 6 years in the Air Force, and culminating with my final job as a senior director for strategy at the White House, architecting the current national security strategy. And the book is really about the everything I learned during that 5 or 6 years studying the economic and political and social competition between the U.S. and China, and in particular the Chinese Communist Party's use of predatory or parasitic economic tactics, using globalization and the internet essentially to both undermine our economic competitiveness in the United States and other democracies, but more importantly, using their influence through those connections to undermine our democracy through things like suppression of speech and suppression of freedom of religion. This is a thing, this is something that is quite evident when some of Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, is nearly fired because the Chinese Communist Party is angered by a tweet he sent supporting the freedom-loving people of Hong Kong.
Well, and particularly when it comes to those that politically love to fancy themselves as the great warriors of freedom of expression and the arts, I see a lot of this in Hollywood as well, where they've oftentimes changed scripts to comply with the dictates of the Chinese, all so that they can hit that market.
Yes, and typically that's as deep as most Americans' understanding goes about how pervasive this influence is. But I'll tell you, when I got to the White House and I was looking for calling think tanks and top law firms in this country to help me both expose what the Chinese Communist Party was doing, but also to create policies to deal with it, they all responded that they could not help because they were worried about angering their Chinese funders. So it's pretty pervasive throughout our society, through corporate America, Wall Street, academia, the media, all throughout our society. It really goes deep. You know, I've been looking for where the rot stops for 6 years now, and it doesn't.
I first became interested in this. I was relatively young at the time, but a geek at the same time, when the Chinese was funneling money into the Clinton re-election campaign, influencing that election. And then I read a book or two by Bill Gertz. And I mean, to me at the time, it was like, how is this stuff happening? And nobody seems to be sounding the alarms. So this has been going on for some time, hasn't it?
Oh, it really has. It's really been going on since went to China, and we've never fully understood how the Chinese Communist Party operates. Really, they look at warfare differently. You know, we tend to look at the world as having periods of peace and war, and they don't really look at things the same way. And they also don't value military conflict as a means of what they do. It's more about subterfuge. It's more about political and ideological warfare. If you go back to Sun Tzu, The Art of War, it's a book. If you read it, it's really not about war. It's about how you defeat your opponent without using warfare. And so what they've used is the openness of the West to essentially turn our strengths, what we thought were strengths, in promoting democracy, economic free trade, and the openness of the West and our media and everything else. And they've used that and turned them into vulnerabilities by essentially creating this one-way relationship that really benefits the Chinese Communist Party overall.
We're talking with our author of the week, Brigadier General Robert Spalding, the book Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. We've got a number of universities here, and of course, they're fairly large in size, and so there are a lot of students from other countries, and there's a significant presence of Chinese students at our local universities, and part of what you write about is the Chinese government and how they basically, at these universities, set up camp to monitor these Chinese students.
Yeah, and it really is about making sure that the Chinese students don't gain American values or culture because they're concerned about that taking root back home. And so there's a large apparatus in the regime, the People's Armed Police, which is really the inward-facing military of the Chinese Communist Party that keeps tabs on the people. And then the Ministry of State Security, which is almost like you could think of them like the KGB. You know, these are the people in the apparatus that is designed to intimidate the families of the students if they get too Americanized. And then, you know, of course, all of the students in the system create this problem for the university itself, because as has happened frequently, the Chinese government threatens to bring all the students home. It immediately puts the university in a precarious financial position, and they've used that in the past to basically make sure that certain people, religious figures, aren't allowed to speak, and to ensure that their view of places like Taiwan and Tibet carry the day.
The last couple of weeks or so, President Donald Trump signed the first of what are expected to be a number of agreements with China that is centered around themed as trade, one of the areas that the U.S. is, I think we've been pretty aware of, but it doesn't seem as if we really tackled it or attempted to until President Trump, and that has to do with the stolen technology component of things. Is anything that was in that deal pertinent to the concerns that you have regarding China, or does it not touch any of that?
No, I mean, essentially the deal didn't touch any of that because the Chinese Communist Party refused to negotiate on those issues, which we find to be particularly damaging to U.S. national security and economic competitiveness. And so the idea was the president needed a trade deal to get reelected. At least that's what corporate America and Wall Street were telling him. And so this deal represents the best either side could hope to achieve. Of course, the Chinese wanted to get rid of all the tariffs. The good news is we still have tariffs on $350 billion worth of goods. The bad news is, the Chinese aren't going for a phase two deal. And this was merely an attempt on their part to prevent the December 15th tariffs from taking effect and to reduce some of the other tariffs, which they achieved. So it's a half win, I guess, for both sides. But ultimately, what you see is a slow decoupling of the two economies, because quite frankly, the Chinese Communist Party has no intent to release its grip on the Chinese economy through its state-owned enterprises.
So is there anything that can be done? You know, we hear about whether agreements or tariffs or I always think agreement is something that's on paper, and if the other side isn't an honest partner in the agreement, it really isn't worth the paper that it's printed on. And if you do have a country like China who is hell-bent on, in one way or another, essentially holding dominion over the United States, I think, what do you do? What can we do?
Yeah, so the national security strategy is really designed on a bilateral basis to negotiate with our allies and partners to reset the terms of how we work together to counteract the rise of authoritarianism and totalitarianism. And what it says essentially is, you know, we've been a strong security partners, but since the end of the Cold War, we've stopped being strong economic, financial, and informational partners, which are far more relevant geopolitically in the 21st century than our security relationships. And so we need to shore those up. And so I bucket that under the protect. Under the rebuild, the national security strategy calls for investing in infrastructure, STEM education, research and development, and manufacturing in the United States to rebuild the U.S. industrial base and to rebuild the U.S. economy. That has been stalled by a number in the administration that don't believe that, you know, investment ought to be into the heartland of the United States, rebuilding our productive capacity. And then the last piece is really about inspire. And that comes about when the American people have the chance to achieve the American dream again. They can own a home. They can send their kids to college. They can have a steady job that provides benefits. These are things that we lost when China entered the WTO because we became attached to this parasite from an economic and financial standpoint. And finally, the last piece, and this is really, I think, the most important, having a secure, encrypted internet for the American people is so important. And that's why it was written into the national security strategy. I wrote it in on page 19. It's about having a secure, encrypted 5G network for the country. I think these are all things that we can do. They're certainly achievable. And quite frankly, there were things that we did during the Eisenhower administration that set us on the path for promoting democracy, not just in the United States, but other countries as well.
And finally, with our author of the week, Brigadier General Robert Spalding, with the book Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. I know it's, of course, just the timing of it is so recent that it's after the book was published. But all of this with the coronavirus, any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, you always learn something, and I learn something every day. And what I didn't realize that not only was the Chinese Communist Party a threat to the economic prosperity of the United States and the social fabric of our nation, but it's also a threat to humanity itself, particularly because of its secrecy and control of information when it comes to potential global pandemics. We actually don't know how many people have died. We don't know how many people are infected. We don't know the full ramifications of the coronavirus that's currently going on in China. And I think it's important that we do know. The Chinese Communist Party, of course, is not intent on letting us know, and they've prevented CDC officials from going in, although the president has offered it.
Robert Spalding, author of the week, Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Springfield's News Talk FM, 104.1 KSGF. And again, a thank you, as always, to ABC Books on North Glenstone, where you can find this and other past Author of the Week books. I'm Nick Reed.